In this podcast, I'm going to do an unusual thing. I'm going to go from the general idea of something as simple as 1 plus 1 equals 2 and move over to the way that that describes some knowledge, some concepts, how you can describe any group of concepts, bundle it up in a, I suppose, a database or a book or a written form, and gather it together and hand it to someone, pretty much like the accounts that you hand of a business, of the cash flow. These are bundling up and accounting the idea flow. Sounds a bit hard, and this is Peter Hill Explains, and what I've been doing is slowly improving my podcasting ability and style. So I've listened back and I've heard a gradual improvement of stitching ideas together. I've tried to achieve various things. I've tried and failed, and I assume I've got a small number of people who can stick with these unusual podcasts. And in this, I'm going to move off to some of my more unusual experiences. So some of the things I've been podcasting on is, say, my understanding of water, which is advanced or more complex or more subtle than the standard understanding of water, or the understanding of ozone or the experience of ozone. And in that case, I had a series of actual social interactions and scientific interactions, which meant that and at the end of the day, a range of insights which are all bundled together to be a unique experience. And I don't pretend at all that anyone else in the world shares this unique experience, but you know, listening to it, you may pick things up. And as I discuss different topics, some of the detailed insight just naturally goes more deeply as I think, I suppose, more deeply about things, come up with more ideas, and then arrive at the social situation. I think a lot of people arrive at the social situation first and pick up their ideas from when they arrive. So I do it a bit of the opposite way, and so I arrive at a social situation, and some of it just doesn't make sense. Some of the people have worked out the way they're going to think ahead of time, and therefore fit what they see to the way that they're going to think. So I think that's almost the definition of science. You start to take measurements and continuously push away the way that you think, or push away the prejudice of your prior thoughts, and get informed by more ideas, more papers, broad information. So I assume that my listeners are of the same ilk if they've survived so far. So I'm going to go into this topic of a more esoteric topic of mapping conceptual knowledge in such a way that you can bundle up everything that you or a group of people know, record it and hand it on to someone else, and some keys to accessing that. The fundamental idea of a methodology of inquiry comes from Socratic knowledge. That is, someone asks a question, someone considers the question, and then comes up with an answer. And then they look at the answer and they pose another question. This Socratic method of detailing to a stream of consciousness, which is a series of questions and answers. That's a model, and we're going to go with that. Now, that was looked at, and in the medieval era, under St. Thomas Aquinas, he had a process of asking these questions, then going through every possible answer to each question. This is the Summa Theologica. And then identifying, rationalising, working his way through all those possible answers. So that's a starting point. And St. Thomas Aquinas produced a fairly good and interesting read, in actual fact, Summa Theologica. And he himself went silent at the end of his career, believing that he had asked all questions and answered, and given them all answers, of course. the human race has continued on. But there's been groups of theology going down this process. It's not necessarily a database of knowledge. It's a method of exploring without a set way of thinking. Now, mathematics has come across in a slightly different way in saying for any particular answer, it's a member of a class of answers. So what colour is a bottle? Well, it's in the class of colours, so it could be red, green, yellow. And so you have a class of answers, a space of answers, an answer space, a Hilbert space. And therein lies thermodynamics and quantum physics, how we describe describes things, entry, a whole lot of major things. This is unbridled knowledge interacting, conserving scientific laws with it. So that's one end. But then at the other end, before all that, we had this methodology, sort of this piecewise method of stepping through things. Now, I did say that we're going to add a little bit of maths, and there is a little bit of maths, but we're not going to get to it in this podcast, and that's adding the mechanics of 1 plus 1 equals 2. Now, you can think of that, but I'm more interested in the actual writing of the 1, the plus 1 equals 2. And when you write the 1 and position the plus sign in a particular position around the number, then put another one in the correct position next to the plus. So the plus is sort of a certain sort of power operate. It's an operator, and it operates spatially to the left and to the right of it when you actually write it down. And then the equals actually summons that answer and places it on the page. And this is sort of positional, or the structuring of the mathematical structuring. Mathematical structures which can manage concepts. And so we'll go for a little while, and this is the bait at the end of it. There is this very simple mathematical structuring which can help you manage concepts if you go down this Socratic path. So there's some mathematics which you I've just spontaneously discovered. It's new maths which is discovered, and its role is not so much counting math. There is counting associated with it, but it's more idea management maths. And this is conceptually a complex thing for people. The idea of maths as counting is summative, as expressing quantity. Whereas the maths that I'm going to eventually employ, and this is, it is advanced. It is advanced because no one's, it's, I'm talking about something which I've researched and discovered, rather than something which is out there universally proven, like, say, the ozone layer. There's lots of papers, there's lots of issues. People have written things. You can briefly say, well, this is what's said, and this is how it's said, and this is the implication of it. We're outside that. We've moved on that to looking at the general thoughts, and then you'll arrive at a vista, and then I'll say, well, look down this direction, and it's sort of a new exploring frontiers of ideas way of going. So I'm aware that I can't do that straight off without a lot of practice in podcasting. So in this case, I'm going to start off. That's the end direction. I'm going to introduce some maths, which down the track will allow people to tweet ideas or responses, and those responses will form into a cluster off an app which will appear on people's mobile phones. So there's a bit of maths, which accounting concept, accounting maths, which allow you to do that. And I could explain it right now, and people would be distracted by it because they're thinking more of quantitative maths rather than maths as a management tool. And when you really come to think of it, people were using maths as a quantitative tool, as a tool to manage social problems. How much wheat, how much tax, when to do things, asking these basic questions. And the numbers we use there to quantity, these numbers here are used to track ideas. And that's down the track. We're not going to deal with that at the moment. So let's, without further ado, go into the idea of a conceptual issue. You can hear a lot of birds at the moment. So let's see. We'll start off with a question of what's really important about birds? The answers could be their environmental impact, their evolution, their protection, their identification, their behaviour. And so what's really important about birds can have multiple answers. Conceptually, I want you to imagine an envelope, and on the outside of that envelope, you write your first question: what's important about birds? And inside that envelope, you are to place 10 empty envelopes with the answers. So you have a cue, a question, the response, 10 or more responses. So I have my first question, and rather than a single response, as supposed by Socrates of the ancient Greeks, or a range of responses, we've got a series of responses, and it can be an arbitrary number of responses. So that's up towards the idea of St. Thomas of Aquinas, and it's a general social thing that we can have the politically accepted, the important responses, then you can have childhood responses and silly responses. Now, for each of those, so I have an envelope, and inside that envelope, and it's a big envelope, I've got 10 or more separate response envelopes. Now, for each one of those response envelopes, the response is what's important about birds, being able to identify them. What are the key ways that you can identify them? Be one question. Another question is, well, what is the naming system of identifying? How do other cultures identify it? Is there a commercial identification system, i.e. is there a health identification, a sick, a young, an old, or an old, stuff like that? And so for that question, I've selected, say, the third answer. And for that third answer is an envelope. I put in several questions about how I would several questions to that response, and for each response I would have several answers to it. So how do I identify a bird, so what's important about a bird, it's their identification, is there a way of identifying birds by their age, how do I identify birds by age? Well, the answer is if they're at an egg or a fledgling, and you can have those questions down. For an egg, I can have an arbitrary number of questions that come to mind about eggs. What are their shapes? What are their sizes? What are their needs of an egg? How can I tell if an egg is alive or not? And I can have several answers for that. And so very quickly, you have two sort of streams of envelopes, a system of envelopes stacked within other envelopes. And, of course, the mathematical trick is to transform what is an enclosure way of thinking, the way that we humans think, into a more mathematical computer, internet savvy way. But you can see from this that in any particular topic that I should choose, I just chose birds because it came to mind. I had a whole heap of birds above me just yapping away. I don't know whether it went through in this podcast system. I then have a way, just a methodology which is not too concerned with a structure of thinking. It's just the only structure of thinking is I have an a question, and then I have answers, and for those answers I have more questions, and this way I build in an ad hoc way people's understanding. I can harvest generalized information. It's not structured like a book, although there's using maths you can transfer and press a button and produce a beautifully structured book associated with this, and that has to come along. And so I have a method that I can stream of consciousness start to put down information and put down questions and leave them unanswered as alternatives. It encourages me to think of the full spectrum of answers to go through. Now, the advantage of this is that you can think of this as a pouch system. So it's unlike a library. It's actually a series of physically inaccessible envelopes, and they would be physically inaccessible except for a maths idea that I have to solve it. And there's a fundamental advantage here is that if I have 20 answers, I can give those answers to 20 different people, and they can come up with their own questions and start. Whereas a database or a structured or a book, it's really one or two people working. This has basically got communal mesh thought, being able to very quickly gather a huge amount of information. I'm just going to say one thing is that you can say, this sort of a prize thing, you can say, importance is conserving birds. Who's going to conserve birds? I, a politician, promise that I will have $10 million to preserve birds in this particular area. And so that's an answer. And then you can have questions and answers streaming of it. So this is a promise answer. And electronically, you can actually tag that promise answer. So go up to a particular politician and track all promises they make, and electronically track when they're reversing on a promise, and then automatically alert everybody who has actually built solutions based on their answers, questions and solutions based on their answers. So there's this enormous ability if you go down this particular track of just having an ad hoc way of assembling masses of amounts of knowledge. And then you can have other features like in your envelope that has got your initial question, you can have 50 answers, but you can actually tag and put up the front the most important answers and then categorize the answers going down. Or you can have answers which respond in each other, or answers which depend on particular weather conditions that computers can monitor. So there's something of an idea of the human experience being absolutely mashed into computer surveillance. It's this beautiful idea. And, of course, I have the mathematical solution, which I'll discuss with you and show you how. I'll show you some apps where this is generated. I've sort of looked at a book, which are books like Pride and Prejudices, things like the Bible, politicians' speeches, where we've just gone through and as it's come along, chugged along and actually put it in the questions and answers. Of course, things like legislation is a series of questions and the legislation is a series of answers. And so things go like that. So this is a lot of a promise, a carrot to continue listening down this line if you should ever go here. And I'll just go at this stage. I'm going to repeat this. This is the story of how I came up with this. I'm an innovative sort of chap. And I hadn't actually twigged the fact that people were shutting me down. So I was at a school and I would come up with a solution and an answer. And people would have problems with it, questions with it, a whole series of questions. And for all those questions, I would come up with a solution for those questions. And they would come up with another question. And so we had a sort of this game going on where I was the solution generator and someone else was the question generator to lock things down. And so I began to write down the solutions that I was aiming to try and see a pattern. I wrote questions and answers, questions, or the answers I was giving and the questions, the blocks that were doing it. And this, if you like, is human existence. Everyone, individual, wants to do a lot more than they're allowed to do by the structure of society around them, that they can actually limit their thoughts to their society so they have the sensation that they can do whatever they want. But in general, if you start thinking at fairly high speed, solutions and people equally around you just come up with these blocks, you can write this down. I was writing this down, and so for a general idea, it would have a block and I'd several answers to it, and it'd be blocked again, and then answers to that, and that'd be blocked again. I began to write it down, and then I began to write the notation for a blockage. So, question, answer, blockage, always. So hopefully, when you do this, you'll come up with open-ended answers that you can execute or things that you want to do, rather than always blocking. But you can see what's going on here. So, I sort of looked heavily into this, and as I wrote this down, I began to wrote naturally down in a legislation number system, or a military orders number system, and a military order number, or legislations goes 1.A.R.N., and it goes through, and so I systematized that, and noticed that it followed the symmetry numbers of some quantum numbers I was looking at, and what was the actual symmetry of these numbers, and how these numbers were headers to allow you to go down and identify things that had a system, but and this is in a dimensional space, how we could actually change the dimensionality of this to change it from this envelope enclosure method to a far more easy and open format that we can go and see. Now, historically, we've done this many times, or historically, this is a trend that we have been doing with general mathematics. We've had the concept of you and you get together and there's two of you, okay, and we had have developed a way of expressing that mathematically on a piece of paper, actually getting numbers to do a bit of conceptual work around them. So there's conceptually there's a difference between 102 and 100 squared, or 1 to the 02. I mean that obviously doesn't mean anything, but the actual way that we write numbers and we write and position numbers get them to do work. So that's coming up, and this is sort of like a pre-advertisement to it. And what I'll do is I'll include a link in the description to Pride and Prejudice and see if you can actually see the method produced, and it uses ideas from periodic tables. It mashes the periodic table with the internet with some rather natty basic understanding of maths. That's pre-Euclid. That's actually maths which we've evolved culturally to do. I've sort of culturally tweaked some maths, and it's very powerful, and it works really well. And as with so many things that I look at, deeper understanding or deep thought winds you out by yourself. You're the only person pointing out that lutetium's placed in the incorrect position on the periodic table periodic tables that you see. You're the only person that points out that the hole in the ozone layer is technically not what we would call the man on the Chapman omnibus. Your reasonable person would not call it a hole given the information given. Say, for instance, this is going today, water, people who actually see the experimental outcomes of water would not agree, would pick a problem with the model. I think there's a number of people who are going through this and think, oh, well, there is some benefit, some answer here, like by, say, looking at the quantum mechanics of ozone, the fact that you can suddenly do something with two photons now that you think of quantum mechanics, or trying to look at, say, the basic quantum mechanics of polyatomic molecules. It obviously isn't, polyatomic molecules are not cleanly described or efficiently or effectively described with the current batch of ideas that we have, yet people are so wed to the ceremony system of graduating and patting themselves on the back that when you turn around and say, well, hang on, this is not effective, this is not true, there's this intellectual processing, they solve a problem by getting angry. And hopefully you out there in podcast land are listening, are not in the mood to getting angry and listening to things. And so I'll include a link here. I think I'll put a link to Pride and Prejudice. And then I'll, in the next podcast, start to grind through the maths. It's exquisitely simple maths. And it's not brain twisting maths as in quantum mechanics, where you've got a mathematical function and the maths of that mathematical function, that sort of higher level, describes something complex with a single number and the nature of those single numbers, but there's a whole lot more going on. So that ends this podcast. Thanks for listening, and hopefully I'll pick you up on the next one. Bye for now.